Of the first few hauntings I investigated with Lockwood & Co., I intend to say little, in part to protect the identity of the victims, in part because of the gruesome nature of the incidents, but mainly because in a variety of ingenious ways we succeeded in messing them all up. There, I've admitted it. Not a single one of those early cases ended as neatly as we'd have wished. Yes, the Mortlake horror was driven out, but only as far as Richmond Park, where even now it stalks by night amongst the silent trees. Yes, both the grey spectre of Aldgate and the entity known as the Clattering Bones were destroyed, but not before several further, and I now think unnecessary, deaths. And as for the creeping shadow that haunted young Mrs. Andrews to the imperilment of her sanity and her hemline, wherever she may continue to wander in this world, poor thing, there it follows too. So it was not an exactly unblemished record that we took with us, Lockwood and I, when we walked up the path to 62 Sheen Road on that misty autumn afternoon and briskly rang the bell. We stood on the doorstep with our backs to the muffled traffic and Lockwood's gloved right hand clasped upon the bell pull. Deep in the house, the echoes faded. I gazed at the door, the small sun blisters on the varnish and the scuffs on the letterbox, at the four diamond panes of frosted glass that showed nothing beyond except for darkness. The porch had a forlorn and unused air, its corners choked with the same sodden beech leaves that littered the path and lawn. "Okay," I said, "remember our new rules. Don't just blab out anything you see. Don't speculate openly about who killed who, how or when. And above all, don't impersonate the client, please. It never goes down well."
"That's an awful lot of don'ts, Lucy," Lockwood said. "Too right it is. You know I've got an excellent ear for accents. I copy people without thinking."
"Fine. Copy them quietly after the event, not loudly, not in front of them, and particularly not when they're a 6'6" Irish dock worker with a speech impediment and we're a good half mile from the public road."
"Yes, he really was quite nimble for his size," Lockwood said. "Still, the chase will have kept us fit. Sense anything?"
"Not yet, but I'm hardly likely to out here. You?"
He let go of the bell pull and made some minor adjustment to the collar of his coat. "Oddly enough, I have. There was a death in the garden sometime in the last few hours, under that laurel halfway up the path."
"I assume you're going to tell me it's only a smallish glow." My head was tilted on one side, my eyes half closed. I was listening to the silence of the house.
"Yes, about mouse-sized," Lockwood admitted. "Suppose it might have been a vole. Expect a cat got it or something."
"So, possibly not part of our case then, if it was a mouse?"
"Probably not."
Beyond the frosted panes in the interior of the house, I spied a movement. Something shifting in the hall's black depths.
"Okay, here we go," I said. "She's coming. Remember what I said."
Lockwood bent his knees and picked up the duffel bag beside his feet. We both moved back a little, preparing pleasant, respectful smiles. We waited. Nothing happened. The door stayed shut. There was no one there. As Lockwood opened his mouth to speak, we heard footsteps behind us on the path.
"I'm so sorry."
The woman emerging from the mists had been walking slowly, but as we turned, she accelerated into a token little trot.
"So sorry," she repeated. "I was delayed. I didn't think you'd be so prompt."
She climbed the steps, a short, well-padded individual with a round face expanding into middle age. Her straight ash-blonde hair was fixed back in a no-nonsense manner by clips above her ears. She wore a long black skirt, a crisp white shirt, and an enormous woolen cardigan with sagging pockets at the sides. She carried a thin folder in one hand.
"Mrs. Hope?" I said.
"Good evening, madam. My name is Lucy Carlyle, and this is Anthony Lockwood of Lockwood & Co. We've come about your call." The woman halted on the topmost step but one and regarded us with wide grey eyes in which all the usual emotions featured: distrust, resentment, uncertainty and dread. They were all there. They come as standard in our profession, so we didn't take it personally.